Hi, welcome to the iHeart Africa Project podcast. This is episode number 2. Hi, my name is Nikki. I run the iHeart Africa Project. I love Africa. It is a very special place to me. And so I'm putting together this project to showcase Africa in a very real capacity, providing insights into Africa from the perspectives of those who love the continent, its residents, wildlife heroes, conservationists, photographers, rangers, guides and tourists who all share their experiences and love of this beautiful continent. On today's episode, I'm talking to Bob and Monica Vincent. Bob, also known as Jersey Bob, is a musician from Jersey in the United Kingdom. He has spent many years travelling, playing his music. And Monica, originally from South Africa with strong ties to Namibia, both of whom follow their hearts and their passion of travelling the world. And their present location is currently in Taupo, New Zealand, where they own the Raw Balance Cafe. And on that note, I would like to extend a warm welcome to Bob and Monica. Hi, Bob. Hi, Monica.
Hi.
Now, for those listening, could you please introduce yourselves, tell us where you're from, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I am from South Africa and did not leave because I didn't want to live there. I left because I wanted to travel. And now we live in New Zealand, and we run a raw food vegan shop, and live off the grid in Turangi.
Hello, I'm Bob, or Robert is my real name, but I'm from Jersey, the Channel Islands, which is a small island near France. Travelled loads and loads since I was 22, so that's why I left Jersey, really. Met Monica, married Monica in Namibia. We eloped, or antelope, as we like to call it. And then, we've come here 6.5 years ago. And I live in Turangi as well.
Oh.
Right next door to you. All right.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
That's Monica, us. Monica, so you grew up in Cape Town. What was that like?
It was awesome. It's a very cool place. It's even cooler now than when I grew up, but it's very cool.
And you have quite a strong tie to Namibia, is that correct?
Yes. My mum's both of her parents were born in Namibia. They were amongst the first, of their parents were amongst the first settlers in Germany, from Germany, in Namibia.
Oh, wow.
So we've got big family ties with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a favourite holiday you went on as a child with your family?
What did I say? Wilderness. Edit that out. Yes, wilderness is awesome. Yeah. That's a really, really cool place.
Did you ever go up to Kruger? That's quite
We never went up to Kruger. Whenever we did the longer distances, we went up to Namibia as a family. We did a lot of Namibia. Mm-hmm. The winter holidays, school holidays, we used to almost every year, every second year, go up to Namibia.
So Monica, tell us about the time when you were a student and you travelled in the old VW Golf right up to Malawi.
Oh, yes, that's what students do. We were in our second year of studies and we were four students that just wanted to spend the summer holiday somewhere. And I had a little Beetle, which wouldn't, and another friend had the VW Golf. And we'd four of us with all the holiday stuff and food and everything in a little VW Golf drove up to Malawi and back.
Well, what other countries did you go through?
We drove through Zimbabwe, stopped in Bulawayo, stopped in Harare, stopped in Malawi, then that was it. And then drove through Mozambique, a little thin strip of Mozambique, which I just remember that being quite, still very war-stricken, and just all the buildings along the sides of the road were full of holes. And
where was that, Mozambique?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was quite intense.
And what was Malawi like?
Incredible. One of the best places I've ever visited. Yeah.
For those who don't know, can you tell us about the bread and bottles?
Ah, oh, the bread and bottles, yes. What really struck me about Malawi was how it, when we visited in 2000, it was the fourth poorest country. I don't know where it's now, but it was the fourth poorest country then. And the people were just so happy, so beautiful. And whenever you went outside and you bought your bottles, and you always had to pay deposit for the bottles. So you give the bottles to the kids. As soon as while you're drinking, you're just surrounded by little kids. It's very cute. And as soon as you finish, you just give them the bottle, because it's not much money to us, but it was huge to them. And so they could get some money for the deposit. And one day we were in a campsite where a lot of locals were running around. And we knew we were going to be away the whole day. We had some breads and some bottles that had just accumulated in our car. I don't know how they accumulated, but they did. And we went away for the day. But in the morning, we put all our stuff outside the tent and came back quite late in the evening. And everything was still there. No one had stolen it. No one had taken it. No one had assumed that it's for them for the taking, which I just, that really struck me.
Yeah. So did they come in when you returned?
Yeah, when we drove in, we just had all these kids running after us and we didn't know what was going on. And as soon as we stopped at the tent, they were just around us and then we gave them the stuff. And so they knew it was there.
But they just didn't take
they
it.
Didn't take they didn't take it. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, that was brilliant.
That's
incredible.
Yeah. For the stigma attached to Africa, that's incredible.
Yes. Mm. That's a story that's stuck with me forever.
Mm. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And Bob, where have you travelled in Africa?
The first place I went was the place called Casablanca in Morocco, which sounds really romantic, but it was pretty rough. We were on a cruise ship. Yeah. No one to talk any more about that trip, thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I flew to Tanzania because I've got a mate, he's still there and he loves it. He's got a tour company called Bush to Beach, and he invited me down and just looked after me. So I went up on safari for a few days, and then Zanzibar. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Yeah.
And you eventually ended up going to Arusha. A mate, a friend of yours, said they had a couple of gigs for you.
That's
that
right.
Up?
Yeah.
Yes. Tell us about your
high paying gig.
Yes, your high paying gig, but also about going to Freddie Mercury's house.
Oh yeah, old Freddie, my mate Fred. Yeah, that was in Stone Town. So I played this gig, and it was at the UN, all the United Nations guys came.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a tip, I was getting paid with tips. I don't know how much was in there, probably 50 or 60 US maybe, which is quite good money.
Yeah.
It's quite cheap there. And then by the end of the night, the money was gone. So, the owner of the pub lined all the staff up. None of them would come clean, so he didn't pay them any money that night. Because he said to me that one of them's got it and they'll split it whatever ways they want. So,
yeah.
More than he would have paid them anyway. So, but I didn't get anything out of it except very drunk on gin and tonic.
You could have gotten their wages.
Miyagi could have got, actually.
Yes, you could have done that.
No, but the gin, it was good. I preferred gin as payment. Yeah, and then I flew over to Zanzibar, and the first thing I wanted to do was find Freddie's house.
So Freddie Mercury was originally from Zanzibar?
Yeah, born in Stone Town, yeah.
Oh, wow. And his parents still live there, apparently.
Well, according to this drunk guide. Yeah, I was sold, it was $10, so that's quite a lot of money. If you think about a sixth of my wages the other night. He showed me all the cool places, the slave markets and all that, and then all the beautiful teak doors. But then when I wanted to see Freddie's house, he just, a random house, he said, oh, this is where he lived, and his mum and dad are up there now, and that Freddie bought this car, and it's all lies, you know? Because, yeah, when I paid him off and he ran down the road, I seen a sign a few hours later, and it's a completely different part of town. It said, Freddie Mercury's house. A plaque on the wall. That was it. I was like, welcome to Africa, sir.
So, despite those couple of funny little moments, what was your first impression of Africa?
When I arrived in Casablanca, it was quite poor.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I flew to Arusha, it was poor but like vast as well, you know, because you're flying over, because we stopped in Kenya and then we took a smaller flight over. And I was like, what is this place? Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mate picked me up and then he goes, I've got to drop some lunch off. Like, lunch boxes, 170 Ks later.
Oh.
Yeah, he had to chase down the safari because they'd forgotten all the lunches. But these are the 170 Ks, nothing, you know?
No.
That was unbelievable.
No, it's nothing. No. Around the corner.
And I just flown from England, go places. And then he just dropped the lunches off and back. So, you know, 6-hour trip and it's an amazing place.
Yeah. Do you guys have any funny stories from your travels?
I think it's always been funny,
probably
isn't it?
Probably lots.
my favourite, when we stop in, especially in Cape Town, you stop at traffic lights, there's always people come rushing up to the car and they try to sell all sorts of stuff, but some people just have nothing and they just stand there. So we always have bags of orange. Yeah, they want money. So we just give them fruit and stuff.
Yeah.
And it goes down really well.
It really works. They're so happy.
They just end up, oh, thank you. And
what about the moment with the loaf of bread?
Oh, yeah. I was just saying. So we were a little bit hungover, tired. We were going to Monica's friends for dinner, and we come up to these lights, and this guy has come running over with a loaf of bread hanging. And I just said, "Oh, he wants some butter." Oh, he just cracked up. And then he saw us laughing.
We're just sitting in the car, pissing ourselves.
Yeah, we were just all laughing, and then he just walked off. Yeah, didn't get any butter. Yeah, I still love that.
Why would he think you had butter?
I don't know.
It's just Bob just made that up.
It's my humour. Kind of dry humour.
They do go hand in hand, yes.
And then, we drove off. But it's always funny. I love the car park attendants. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
Barry Hilton is a comedian in South Africa. He always goes on. They've always got one leg shorter than the other, have you noticed? They've all got some kind of dodgy walk.
And when they forget, it's the other leg.
That's priceless.
Yeah, it's true.
That's priceless.
He's our favourite comedian because he never swears, but all his stories are funny.
South African
it's all about
comedian.
South Africa.
What was his name?
Barry Hilton.
Barry Hilton,
okay.
He's because very good. We once arrived in Cape Town, right, yeah. And we were still really seriously jet lagged and everything. And we were lying on the bed, just arrived that day. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? Bob says, oh, have a look. What's on in Cape Town? So I Googled what's on in Cape Town and I saw Barry Hilton live tonight. Yeah. So we got tickets and we went.
Oh, it's amazing. 2,000
It was brilliant. 2,000 people. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Awesome.
Because
I've never seen
your
him
face
live.
Aches.
Oh, it was like, can you just stop for a second?
Some smile.
Get
just
my face
stories,
back.
Funny stories about everything, like South African dogs. To he said he used to go out with a gym teacher. Everything he's talked about was funny, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah, that's hilarious.
I like him. Yeah.
Tell us about the one with the ostrich.
What's his name?
Chomi.
Oh my God.
My his wife and my mama are cousins. Mm-hmm. And we were. You want to tell him?
No, we were having a few drinks around the table, and then he.
Bob didn't want to go. We had been out night after night after night after night. And it was like almost our last evening that we had nothing planned. And we just wanted to go to bed early and relax before we were heading back. And it was all very intense. And Bob was just like, I don't want to go out. And he says, oh, we're going to go into the Namib Desert tomorrow. And Bob was like, oh, really? And I was like, we should go. If he's offering, and he's been a tour guide for many, many years. He knows what he's doing and he'll show us magical places. We've got to go. So Bob reluctantly was like, oh, all right then, let's go. You know, when you're just over it and you just want to stop.
Get up early, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock, get up, miles driving, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And we drive. Get to this first stop, this big rock or something. And he opens the beer fridge and he says, now this is where we normally have our first beer. 9 o'clock in the morning. Bob and I just looked at each other, we're like, nah, it's all right, thanks. And and so he cracks open a beer and drinks it. It was like, all right then. And then we carry on. And he stops at another place, 9:30.
Oh,
and he says, so this is normally where we have our second beer.
So obviously the tourists are quite thirsty.
Yes.
Very thirsty. The sun isn't
like,
even
very
high yet.
So
it was winter.
We had our first beer at 9:30.
So we had our first beer at 9:30. And then...
We saw a Welwitschia, though.
We saw a Welwitschia.
Yeah,
we saw lots of beautiful things.
Yeah, the
And then he drove us into, with his little four-wheel drive, he drove us into a riverbed. And we're driving in this riverbed.
It was a Swakop, wasn't it?
Was it the Swakop?
River Swakop, yeah.
I can't remember which one it was. But we're in this riverbed, and the next minute, this ostrich comes running.
It's just legs.
Male and female. Male and female. And he starts chasing them. They come past us. He starts chasing them. He's
40,
up to
50.
He's up to 60 k's an hour. You just see this thing running.
looking at us like, what? Yeah.
So at one point, the female just went aside and gave
up. Yeah, she backed
up. And the male just
He ran out. He was gone.
Yeah.
Because the car
was
losing control.
Yeah, the car was a bit skidding.
Yeah.
But Bob just couldn't stop laughing.
But it's the way he kept saying, look at this bagger run, eh? Look at him run. We'll make him run, eh? So,
I love the accent.
Oh, no. It was hilarious.
So what would you say is your most favourite location in Africa and why?
In South Africa, wilderness, I loved that. I think Monica mentioned it.
Mm.
She took me there because it's just beautiful.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, and it's just right on the edge of the beach, and then there's amazing little cafes and there's good music because we play music. And then it's real close to the Klein Karoo, isn't it?
Klein Karoo.
Klein Karoo, yeah. So we did that big, beautiful drive over.
Mm-hmm.
past Ronnie's sex shop.
Not that close. Around the corner.
It's round the corner, yeah.
South African round the corner.
And then in Namibia, I just love... What do you like?
Sossus Vlei, the desert.
Oh, that part, yeah. We went out on a 7-day safari and it was just magic. Yeah, stars were very amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just camped because it was cheaper as well, but just...
We went on a safari, which was really, really well organized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, I did say, you know, because it was all that they prepared all the food and you're out in the middle of nowhere. And I inquired, can you cater for vegans? And they were like, yeah, of course, no problem.
That's good. Yeah. And the food was not just lettuce, tomato, and cucumber.
No.
Well, the first meal was
it was
a big
rolls
omelet.
And Mrs. Ball's chutney. And and what about for you? Do you have a favorite location? Like we said, Sossus Vlei, the desert, I just think is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just very little human intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And
where there
Moon's
is, the beer glasses
impressive.
Are in the freezer.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah,
Swakopmund is really nice too. My mother grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lots of relatives there.
Mm-hmm. And what has been the most memorable moment or most pivotal moment on your African travels?
Because I'm a musician, definitely... There was a small gig we played in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
It was just 50 seats.
Mm-hmm.
But absolute silence when you play. Oh,
no,
yeah. Never seen anything like it. And the sound was a 1950s sound system.
Mm-hmm.
It was run by a family, the Tate family.
Eccentric family.
He looks like
Einstein. Hippie,
yeah.
Einstein.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's fantastic. And
he's passionate about live music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I finished, it was, you know...
And some of South Africa's
incredible.
Big names play there.
Yeah, big.
For tiny, intimate events.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know names off my head, but...
Anton Goosen played there recently.
Yeah, so he plays, like, stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, big 50. Names. Big South African names
just
they play there as well.
Just got that vibe there, though.
Three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very special.
To share the same stage as the
yeah.
for you.
And even when the last time we played... The act after us, a guy, he's probably Steve Collins, he was just on the brink of...
Guy Collins,
got quite a bit of fame, and then his drummer, just playing percussion, was Barry Van Zyl, who was
Johnny Clegg's drummer.
For the last 14
and
years.
And he sat next to us the whole evening, and I was just like, oh my God,
and
I'm going to play drums in front of him in a minute.
We were chatting, and he when we came off stage, he goes, I don't want to play now, I just want to hear you play another set.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Because I said to him, I'm nervous now. He said, no, don't be nervous.
And then
he literally said that. He was like, oh, I just loved listening to you. I want to listen to you all night.
Wow.
I know.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
when we went back last year, because we didn't see him, we didn't play last year, I sent him a Facebook message and straight away answered. Yes,
wow.
I'll try and be there.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's
superstar.
No, he's a lovely guy.
Very humble.
You wouldn't think he's like probably South Africa's best drummer.
He's massive.
He was going to come and see us play at, because he lives in Hout Bay, when we played at the Hout Bay Market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wanted to come, but then something happened with his daughter and he had to go. But
yeah, so that's, as a musician, that was I loved it.
That was quite a moment, yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And as a traveller, I just like when we drive to her brother's, what is he, about 800 Ks?
Yeah.
From Cape Town, and then it's another 8 Ks off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Down this dirt track to his house. And that kind of stuff's just amazing, how people live like that.
Yeah, he lives completely off the grid in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he's actually now got a job in Cape Town, and my sister-in-law is there. I wouldn't mess with her. She's a very capable woman. And she will sort out any baboon or snake or porcupine or whatever comes into the house or yard. She will sort them out.
She's a lady to know.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she doesn't muck about.
No.
They homeschool their kids, 3 kids, and it's hilarious because one night the oldest one is getting a bit kind of, what would you say? She didn't want to do the schoolwork, so they make her sit there till it's done. And it can be like quite late into the night and she's still there at the desk. Anyway, we went off, we played a gig at the steakhouse, maddest gig we ever played. Cause
2 vegans playing in a steakhouse in the middle of Boer country.
We got back and it was... probably 1 in the morning. And Gunther opened the door, and I walked in first, and I went, Svenja, are you still there? And he thought I was being serious. Oh no, she's not still working. So no, but it could have been possible.
No.
But he's fun. You like it. We get on with the banter. But
yeah. What would you say has been the most interesting place you've stayed when you've been on your travels in Africa?
That's a good one.
For me, you, it'll probably be the crystal house.
Yeah, I stayed in a quartz house made of crystal, quartz crystals.
Wow.
This was my mate in Arusha. That, yep. And it's a real private place, and yeah, he can only take people there. That was amazing. Yeah, there's no windows or anything. It's just a few beds, and then you just sleep, try and sleep, because it's so high energy there. Mm. And then it's next day bird watching. There's about 400 species come to this bird feeding place.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I've never done bird twitching, and I loved it. But he knows all the names of everything.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
What about for you, Monica?
I was just thinking now, there's lots probably, but...
Your brother's trailer.
My brother's trailer. Sleeping out with the scorpions and everything. No, I was thinking that little detour we did to Spitzkoppe in Namibia.
Oh, wow,
with my mum and Hans Gert.
Yeah.
And because you're just walking, it's flat, absolutely flat, coming from Swakopmund,
mm-hmm.
with a bit of a detour, but going back to Windhoek, an African detour. And this is just this mountain that's really high, just like that. And around it, it's just, as you walk, there's just crystals everywhere. All sorts of
massive
semi-precious
rose
and precious. Yeah, rose quartz. You know, you pick rose quartz up that size. Whatever, just tourmaline, you name it. It's all there. Incredible.
Smoky quartz.
Smoky quartz.
Amethyst.
Amethyst, everything, loads.
That's mad.
Decided to mine that.
Yeah, they have. They're not mine, but there's a big crystal gallery in Swakopmund,
mm-hmm.
and we went to that, and that's got the biggest smoky quartz crystal on display,
mm-hmm.
on Earth on display. It's 4.5 tons.
Mm.
It's massive. Mm-hmm. Bob looks like a little dwarf next to it.
That's saying something.
Yes.
Massive.
Yeah.
And they've got an amethyst. You can basically.
And they've got a citrine that's probably.
Oh, the citrine.
But that size.
Wow.
Just like that. It's incredible.
And people don't take the crystals?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, they do.
Would it be protected though? Like under...
Not necessarily. The gold is. The diamonds are.
Yeah,
the diamonds
of course,
definitely
yes.
are.
Yeah, diamonds.
One thing we learned in Luderitz, Coleman's Kop, is there's a little ghost town.
Ghost town.
Is that Coleman's Kop in the middle of the desert had the first X-ray machine ever in the southern hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't actually to X-ray... For the real reason
people.
It was made, but it was to x-ray people going in and out of work to make sure they haven't swallowed or hidden diamonds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
280 beds it had, the hospital, for 400, how many houses? About 400 people.
I can't remember.
Were there.
Oh, they were expecting a lot of incidents.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. We've stopped, and it was all derelict now, but like sand filling it
all
up.
Sand. It's the most photogenic place
ever. Incredible.
Yeah.
On the safari, it was the night... The only night we stayed in a hotel, and then the next morning we went to the ghost town, it's called, isn't it?
Yeah, Coleman's Kop.
Coleman's Kop. It's pretty spooky. The hospital's spooky there.
It was spooky. Yeah. Really felt a bit creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't look like a hospital anymore. It was just a building.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
bad
creepy.
Vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you two play together.
Yeah.
We play percussion.
Yeah, cajon mainly now.
Yeah. And you travel to South Africa and Namibia to play. Tell us about that.
How did
you get started?
I don't know.
Well, you were already playing and...
Monica's... My sister-in-law's got a few contacts because she was getting South African players over to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I emailed one of them that I thought might be able to help us, and he did. That's how it started.
Yeah, Nibs.
Nibs van der Spy. And he's amazing. He lives in Lisbon now. And he just gave us three contacts. One of them was the Alma Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
That little cafe we played in. Yeah.
Another one... Oh, it was just a cafe. We all three booked us, so it was amazing.
That's awesome.
So we started, and then just that night, one lady was... Oh, the Barleycorn.
Barleycorn, yeah.
Yeah, she books Big Axe, and she saw us and loved us, and straight away got us a gig at the markets. Yeah, and then before you knew it, we had like loads of gigs.
Awesome.
So I think if we would be there, it wouldn't take long for us to
that's it. Richard,
establish yourself.
Yeah.
Richard Tate said that if you ever come and live here, you'd be no problem.
Would you?
Working, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, be nice.
When you finish in Taupo?
We're not going to stay here forever, that's
no,
for sure.
Yeah.
It would be nice to go spend at least 3 months there, especially when there's festivals on. Because there's a real big one. What's that big one?
Grahamstown.
Grahamstown, yeah. That we'd love to get onto that.
Arts Festival.
Pay to thousands. Thousands come to that.
Yeah,
it would be
awesome.
It's
a big one. Yeah.
And then where her mum was based for a while, Swellendam, there's also a chance we could set up something there with music and bicycles,
awesome.
Food.
Awesome.
It's all dreams, really, isn't it?
Dreams happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Small steps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what would you say would be your favourite African animal, bird or reptile, and why? And I know, Bob, you mentioned those weird little things.
Dussies.
Oh, the dussies.
Tell us about those.
Well, they you see them on Table Mountain. They're little bouncy kind of rodents.
They're not bouncy. They're rodents.
Okay, they're not.
They just sit there.
Anyway, they're fluffy things. Are they
fluffy,
called gussies?
Yes.
Yeah. And I like them because. But then another story. We're in Namibia on a road trip tour, and there's a German mum and daughter who we didn't really get on with. Which is a little bit boring.
Mm-hmm. Just a bit dull, yeah.
Bit dull, a bit beige.
Grey,
they were very beige, actually.
They were very beige.
They had the whole lot safari suits on.
Oh, they
anyway,
did,
anyway,
yes.
There was a dussie and she went, "Was ist das?" And then I just went, "Das ist dussie." And then we were pissing ourselves.
For about half an hour. We sat
more,
in this.
Half a day. And then this guy could go, "What's wrong with you guys?" Nothing. We're just laughing.
Private joke.
It was pretty private, actually.
I bet you got sideways looks all day from
her. Yeah.
No, she didn't know. They sat in front of us. They didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, that's probably my favourite because it doesn't hurt you. I don't like things that bite. And
what was that bird you mentioned?
Oh, I really like, yeah, the stork, marabou stork. And we saw those in Ngorongoro Crater.
Yeah.
They were just kind of hanging around the campsite.
Was it you that said that they reminded you of your dad?
My dad, yeah. They're bald.
Grumpy.
Grumpy. Yeah, but no, I love them.
What about for you, Monica?
Oh, I love the kudu.
Oh, yeah.
Kudu is just so incredibly beautiful and majestic. And it's just so incredibly beautiful, proud. And
male, female.
Yeah, the males.
Yeah.
And they're shy and they, you don't often see them.
Yes,
you know,
they're quite shy.
Yeah.
Why do you think Africa is a continent that captures the hearts and souls of travellers and people from around the world?
It's just vibrant.
It's vibrant
and it's
very
ancient.
Real. Yeah, it's the way we should be living, not all domesticated and money-driven and pampered and...
Materialistic.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But just
more
real.
It's a little bit
real.
Like when I first went to India, it's that feel.
Yeah.
And
the people also. It's just incredible. Beautiful people.
I just think... Ancient. I like the word ancient.
Ancient.
Yeah.
I always feel that when I'm in Namibia.
Yeah,
I feel when you're walking out, whether it's in the desert or in the field or anywhere, you can feel the billions of years that it's been there. You can feel it. It's there. It's just, I don't know if you know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel it anywhere else.
Even your brother's place.
Like, I know the whole planet's the same age, but humans have done a lot. So you don't feel it anymore. But
yeah,
I feel it when
I'm
in Namibia.
Maybe because it's not built up where we go.
And what do you love about it?
Africa's just
wine.
In my heart. I need to top up that feeling every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
If I stay away too long. Last time, we were there a year ago, but before that was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was too long.
Yeah.
That was way too long.
Yeah.
And I think that's the longest I've ever been away from South Africa.
What do you love about Africa?
Going with Monica because everything's free when we get there. I didn't say that, did I?
Well, that's a bonus.
No, it's just alive, eh? And it does. It gives you a real good battery charge,
mm-hmm.
and then you get all inspired. But it is great to see a mum because she spoils us because we're living pretty frugal here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're quite not used to getting spoiled. So.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to be spoiled.
I like that, yeah. and it's the bird in here. Always go that. Yeah, it's just really. It's cheap as well, eh? That's what I when we because we go to this little place in Greenpoint, it's Sea Point for a coffee.
Greenpoint.
Yeah, it's called. It's been
Giovanni's.
There for years. Giovanni's Italian, kind of. Oh, it's amazing. And he has this fantastic coffee for $2.
20 rand,
yeah. But a proper double espresso. And then it's just, you can just shop inside and spend, I don't know, if you spend $50, that's enough food for a whole week.
One of the first gigs we played at the warehouse in Windhoek.
Oh, yeah.
We had, they paid us 1,000 rand,
mm-hmm.
and we had a 500 rand bar tab.
Mm-hmm.
And we drank a lot. And... Well, we thought was a lot. And when we wanted to leave at the end of the evening, they said, "You can't leave. You've still got 280 rand left.
Yeah.
It was 60 rand for a bottle of wine
yeah.
on a 500 rand bar tab.
Yeah. She had wine in her drum, stuffed in her drum. Couldn't get away. You know? And in the end, this big German, South African, or Namibian, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
We
ended up buying everybody Jägermeisters.
Yeah, we were all Jägermeistering.
Yeah.
But we just couldn't believe it when we still had 280
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
On
and for the bar to say that.
But that was like...
Yeah, yeah, you've had enough
yeah,
now.
That
you've
was
had
miles
two.
Over what we had
yeah.
were able to have. And like Bob said, I had wine bottles hidden in my drum.
And,
That's
priceless. That was quite crazy.
And it still didn't even get over half.
South African customs check Monica's drums.
Yeah,
yes.
For those forgotten wines.
Yes.
Definitely drank that one.
What do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions people have about Africa?
That is dangerous, and they shouldn't go there.
Yeah,
amount of Kiwis
thing.
That tell us that, oh, don't go there, it's dangerous. And they would never go there on holiday.
Even
why do you want to go there?
When we flew out last year, our mate let us stay in his house. He's quite well off in Auckland. Mm-hmm. It's really nice of him. And he wasn't even there. He'd already gone off somewhere to Europe.
Well, it was in Jersey.
Yeah, it was a bottle of South African Dimos Fronte, our favourite wine, with a little note, enjoy. You know, and the next day they had the carpet guy around, wasn't it? It was something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he was going telling us how dangerous it was. He'd never been there. He's never even left the North Shore.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, right.
Never travelled
So you're
before.
An expert, are you?
Mm.
Oh. He's not very good at carpet laying either. I'll just say that much.
So what would be your number one piece of travel advice for anyone travelling to Africa or wanting to go to Africa? What would you tell them?
Do it.
Definitely go. And my first 10 minutes in there, I did have my passport snaffled.
Oh, you did,
I got some money changed.
Mm-hmm.
But then I straight
at the airport.
Yeah, Monica said, oh, did she just put your passport under a few... And she did.
No, as we left, I said... Have you got your passport?
Oh, yes.
She didn't. And what she did at the money exchange in the airport,
mm-hmm.
Cape Town Airport, she exchanged, took the, because they need the passport,
mm-hmm.
and then she just put it under a pile of.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I've heard you need to get your money exchanged at the airport.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that. And then we just wanted to, because we were going directly
to the
pub.
And then we were like, before we even left, I said, where's your passport?
That's right, yeah.
And then so we turned to her, she was like, oh.
Passport. Pulled
it out.
Busted. But it's good because then I was weary straight away.
Yeah.
Because I've been in Indonesia and I've been robbed many times. But
You can't be too relaxed.
And I always spend a bit more money the first few days, but then I get into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But I always go. I would never be scared to go somewhere. Don't watch the news because it's rubbish anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So if you were creating a bucket list for Africa, what would be number one on your list?
I'd like to go back to Tanzania and at least go up Kili and then Mount Meru.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to do that too.
Or maybe Mount Kenya,
yeah.
So there's three mountains and they're the highest in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend actually guides people up all three. I'd love to do that. He does it over about 2 weeks. So. But that'd be one of mine.
I've heard that Mount Kilimanjaro. It's not so much a steep, hard climb.
Mm.
It's more the altitude.
You
have to go very slowly. Yeah.
But Mount Kenya is apparently harder.
Days. You've got to be a bit of a climber.
That's the tough one.
And Meru's just got to knock them all off. If you can knock one off.
Might as well.
That's my bucket list. There you go.
What about you, Monica?
I want to go to Madagascar. Not been to Madagascar and I'd love that. Yeah.
That's an island, eh? Cool.
It still counts.
No, it's nice. Just checking if I knew where it was.
So did I hear you say that you eloped?
Yeah.
Where did you elope?
In Namibia.
Yeah, we pretty much
Her
didn't tell anybody
got married,
that we were
remarried and to a sweetheart, wasn't it?
Teenage sweetheart. She married. My dad passed away
a
few years before that, and she married her teenage sweetheart. I know.
What a roundabout circle.
I know. And we just decided, since we've got the family together in Namibia, because we're everywhere, and Bob's parents had passed away, so they wouldn't be there. And Bob's brother, who he was the closest to of the siblings, was in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Jersey, it was just, we just thought, well, if we're going to do it there, it's just going to be really hard because I didn't have any family.
Mm-hmm.
Bob had his two sisters and that's about it. And then you've got to invite friends. And with Bob being a musician and he knew everyone. Where do you draw the line with friends? Like relatives, if you're a big family,
if
you get
one, you're in the terrible.
So what we did is we just decided we're not going to tell anyone in Jersey that we're getting married. We're going to go to South Africa, go see my mum. They got married the day after us. We got married the day before.
Wow.
She only met Bob like 2 days before we got married.
Wow.
I didn't have a ring or
a
wedding dress or anything when we flew over.
Suspected because I asked for my dad's old wedding ring because
mm-hmm.
she had all the jewelry.
Yeah,
so
Bob's wearing his dad's ring
said,
and I'm wearing
my
mum's ring.
Just let me have
really
it.
It's really
special.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
A proper one, look.
Yeah.
It's a little bit slim now. But no, it was amazing. Yeah, then you didn't even have a ring.
I didn't have a ring or anything. A dress. My sister-in-law made my dress. A week before the wedding.
Good.
And my mum, when we got to Namibia 2 days before the wedding, she gave me a ring. She asked, have you got a ring? I was like, no.
We're just doing it.
Yeah. Got it adjusted.
And it was at her house. And it was just a few people, very few people, closest family. And that was it. Yeah, it was great. And then we just put on Facebook, oh, we got married.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah.
Describe Africa in three words.
I always say ancient. I like ancient. Vibrant and amazing.
A super magic place.
Oh.
So what's next for you guys? Any plans to return to Africa anytime soon?
Well, we have to because my mum's there.
Yep.
So at some point, yes.
And Bob, you've written a book about your life and your travels.
Yeah.
Where can someone buy a copy of this if they wanted to? Except in person.
So you can... We've got a few websites up and around. Probably find me on Facebook.
Okay, under Jersey Bob.
Jersey Bob, Robert Vincent. And then just message me and I can send it. I've sent them all over the world, actually.
Yeah, so contact us through Facebook or come into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Come into the shop if you live in New Zealand.
And your music you play, your CDs,
yep.
They're available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, under Jersey Bob.
Yeah, everywhere. Amazon, everywhere.
Yeah.
Deezer.
iTunes.
Okay.
iTunes. But yeah, just if you just Google Jersey Bob, I'll be there number one probably, Google now. So, and I'm on YouTube. Every album, every song's on YouTube.
Hey Bob, Monica, I just want to say a big thank you. Without amazing people like yourself, this project would never have come about and my love and passion for Africa could not be shared with the world on such a grand scale. Just before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thanks for interviewing us.
Yeah.
No worries.
Amazing.
Okay, thank you Monica and Bob for sharing your love of Africa with me. If any of you would like to follow Monica and Bob for music, through their businesses, or just chat to them about their fascinating life story, all links to Monica and Bob are on our website www.iheartafricaproject.com. You can find all the links there to look up their music, to contact them, or to purchase Bob's book. But I will also place them below. It has truly been my pleasure to chat to Bob and Monica today. And stay tuned, subscribe. We have more wonderful people coming on board to the iHeart Africa Project to help share the love of Africa.